During days and days of demonstrations in Denver and other Front Range communities, protesters have been calling for major changes in policing. KUNC reporters Adam Reyes and Lee Patterson are joining us to talk about some of the core issues highlighted by these protests, issues like police use of force and the debate over defunding or even abolishing the police. Adam is with us now to explain more. Hey, Adam.
Hi.
So use of force is a term we're hearing a lot with these conversations about policing reform. Lay it out for us. What is use of force?
There isn't really one definition, but the International Association of Chiefs of Police says it's, quote, the amount of effort required by police to compel compliance by an unwilling subject. That can include a lot of things, from police yelling or cursing at people to grabbing them, using pressure points, chemical weapons like tear gas and pepper spray, tasers, and firing a gun. The killings of George Floyd in Minneapolis and Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, are a direct result of officers using force, leading to calls for major changes to prevent future deaths. In Colorado, use of force policies vary by police department. Many have reporting and review methods that are supposed to determine if an officer's use of force was reasonable. But that's all what's on paper. At the heart of the movement we're seeing now is a strong doubt that these rules are being followed or enforced, and they allow for too much force to begin with. And Black people bear the brunt of force, as many have said, including Denver Police Sergeant and Denver Black Police Officers Organization President Carla Hovard.
Over the years, there's been a devaluing, because that's what it is, a devaluing of Black lives, certainly in policing, but we can look at that in any profession, but certainly in policing.
That was her speaking during a virtual community roundtable at the Denver Department of Public Safety held on Tuesday.
And Adam, what do we know about how often police use force here in Colorado?
Police departments reporting on use of force are lackluster at best. Statewide data on it doesn't exist. Denver Police Department released its numbers from 2015 to 2018, and each year, police used force in about a quarter of arrests, and Black people were disproportionately affected. According to a Denver Post statewide analysis, 67 people were shot by police in 2019. Black and Latinx people were disproportionately represented there, too. State data on this is incomplete.
And so let's talk about the protests, the underpinning of which is to address, as we've talked about, police violence and racism. Adam, you've been covering the protests for KUNC. What have you been hearing from people there about the changes they want to see?
Some think the change needs to start in the hiring process and with more or better training in de-escalation and implicit biases, as this protester in Denver told me last week.
Go in there, make sure that those people are educated in different communities, that they know how to work with all diverse type of people. And if they're scared to be in the neighborhood, then they should be out here patrolling.
And she says there is a need for a stronger use of force policy with more enforcement.
How are officials responding to this push for reform?
Denver Police Department and Aurora Police are experiencing a wave of criticism and pushes for change from officials within and out due to their use of force. Even their crowd control methods against protesters have been under scrutiny, which led a district court judge to block the use of tear gas and projectiles against protesters without the approval of a lieutenant or higher rank officer and require them to use body cameras more. Judge R. Brooke Jackson wrote in his initial decision, quote, "The time is past to rely solely on the good faith and discretion of the Denver Police Department and its colleagues from other jurisdictions."
All right, well, we're going to bring in KUNC's Lee Patterson now to talk further about police reform. One idea that's on the table is to simply replace police officers in some situations with mental health workers or EMTs who may be better equipped or better trained to deal with certain kinds of 911 calls. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Henry.
So earlier this month, Denver rolled out a program testing this concept on real calls for service. The pilot program is called the STAR Service, short for Support Team Assisted Response. Was it created because of the recent protests against police violence?
No. The nonprofit groups that are backing this project say the timing was just a coincidence. The STAR service has been in the works since 2017 and that it all basically just came together on June 1st. But the goal, which is to divert some lower level 911 calls away from police and to outreach workers, certainly aligns with some of what protesters want.
And so how does it work?
The pilot program will last for 6 months, and for now it's serving downtown Denver only. I talked with Chris Richardson. He's a licensed social worker, and he's with the Mental Health Center of Denver. He's one of the people who's been staffing the mobile response van for the past 2 weeks, and he said that it's stocked with supplies.
Personal hygiene items, water, snacks, sharps container. The paramedics have a whole medical stuff attached with it that I don't know anything about what that stuff does. It just looks really cool on a van.
And so, Lee, what kind of calls have they been going out on?
Richardson said that the first call he went out on when he was staffing the van was to help a homeless veteran. They drove him to the Veterans Affairs Hospital, and the VA's homeless outreach team had actually been looking for this man for months and had housing all ready for him. I asked Robinson if the outcome of that call for service might have been different if police had responded instead.
They don't come from the social work mindset or the community-based mindset of, you know, who are you connected to in the community? Do you have supports? It's usually the what's going on, how do we manage it, and then move on to the next call.
I'm curious to know how common these mobile team response programs are.
The much more common model is something called a co-responder model. That's when police officers are paired up with mental health clinicians, sometimes a paramedic, and they go out on calls together. This co-responder model is happening in Denver and in other Front Range towns, Longmont and Boulder, for example. Now, the Denver STAR service program is different because it doesn't involve the police at all. It's modeled off of a program called CAHOOTS, which is based in Eugene, Oregon. It's been in place for decades. And last year, a delegation from Colorado, including Chris Robinson, actually went out to Oregon to observe that program. Now, considering everything that's been happening in the last few weeks with protests against police violence, the CAHOOTS program has been getting a lot of attention. A staffer there told me that they've been getting calls nonstop from people who are interested in the model, but that for now, this CAHOOTS program is not widespread across the country.
In Denver, you described the STAR service responding to a 911 call related to a veteran experiencing homelessness. What other scenarios might they deal with instead of police?
Well, dispatchers will route all sorts of calls their way related to people who are perhaps overdosing or suicidal, intoxicated, or otherwise in some sort of mental health crisis. Chris Robinson said that he thinks police have been tasked with dealing with everything, like all problems. And in his words, this new STAR pilot program can engage populations in a, quote, more productive, less threatening, less militarized way.
It's really hard to have a trauma-informed conversation when you have the utility belt that has some of the stuff that is, you know, historically scary. And I think we come at it from, like, I mean, I literally wear jeans and a t-shirt and just pop out of a van with a can-do attitude. So, you know, it's less threatening and it just comes across as much more humanistic and much easier to connect with people and have like real conversations of what's going on and how do we help.
Let's turn back to Adam. We've been hearing about these calls to abolish or defund the police. Those are obviously some terms with some strong connotation. What do those terms actually mean?
Yeah, you see a lot of signs advocating for this at these protests. Abolishment was actually a point of contention during the Denver Department of Public Safety Roundtable Tuesday. During some back and forth about whether that language explicitly means people want a world without any police, one of the citizens in attendance, Katie Leonard, said this.
Something that is like the policing system based in white supremacy, you really have to just overhaul. So we don't mean no police. We obviously need public safety. We need real public safety, right? We need first responders, not people who come and come in with excessive force more often than not.
What she's talking about is close to what a majority of Minneapolis City Council has decided to do. They're looking to completely disband the city's police force and rebuild a new system of safety from the ground up with the community in mind.
What about the defund part?
While some use these phrases interchangeably, defunding is being seriously considered in several major cities, and it looks kind of different in practice compared to what we're seeing in Minneapolis. It seems to be more of an effort to remove a chunk of money from police departments and use it to provide more community and mental health services instead, ultimately leaving the departments at least somewhat intact. This could look close to efforts like the STAR program Lee described. Candy Sedabaca is on Denver City Council and showed support for these movements during Tuesday's roundtable.
All of the reasons mentioned before that we can't get rid of police, I think that those are all justifications for how we divert our resources more appropriately to people who are skilled to deal with different issues we call the police for.
So while it's not clear how many support which versions of these particular calls for change, it is clear some officials are taking them seriously and are acting on them across the country. As you might expect, there's plenty of pushback to parts or the entirety of these ideas from politicians on both sides of the aisle, police officers, and even some within the larger movement.
KUNC's Adam Reyes and Lee Patterson. Thanks to you both.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.